we're back.
Oh, man, every time. What a surprise being interrupted. Anyway, welcome to Humming Fools, a podcast, an amateur auditory god. Nope, not a god. This podcast is a god.
Auditory god.
An auditory guide hosted by nobodies and dedicated to the artists, dreamers, or anyone out there with the creative urge. I'm one of your nobodies, Kyle Stuke. And I'm joined by my co-host, Noah Bosley.
That's a winner.
You know who is a winner, but plus an E in terms of the sound? A wiener? You, Noah Bosley. How are you, Noah?
Good, minus an N, though.
Well, that's what I said, the sound.
Oh, I see.
I didn't want to get into the spelling.
Gotcha.
This isn't school. Bro, how are you?
We are fools.
That's right.
I'm pretty good for a fool.
Yeah. I didn't get to see you during your birthday. How was your actual birthday
I
weekend?
I was 25 years ago. I would have been surprised if you'd been there.
You're funny.
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
25.
This story is not having as much juice as I thought it would.
Quarter of a century.
All right. Anyway, if this is your first time with us, welcome to the show. Just very honored that you're here. So thank you. Again, if you're new and if you're returning, welcome back to normal programming. We got a lot of more, wonderful feedback in regards to our mental health series. So thank you all for that.
Yes.
And it'll be cool to see what kind of series we do again in the future, different topics and such. But for right now, I'm happy that we're returning to our normal scheduling, the discussions and the interviews. So that's what this is going to be. So speaking of that, no, we tell our new and old listeners what today's discussion is going to be.
Yes, gladly.
We are going to sound glad.
Well, okay.
You sound mad and a tad bit upset.
Sad.
Well, I have to end the rhyme eventually.
Well, okay. We are going to be talking about distractions, thing that distract us, that kind of get us out of our creative groove. And to be clear, we're not talking about things that we'll go and do intentionally that cause us to procrastinate, such as, you know, entertainment, video games, all these things that we seek out that in the moment seem more enjoyable than the work. We're talking about more external factors, things that happen to us, things that we can't help but notice that kind of set us off and keep us from doing the work we want to do.
You set me off with that statement.
Hmm?
I don't know. Great explanation, right, Noah. Well, distractions.
Yeah.
And now Noah's distracted
by
my terrible interjection.
Yeah.
Do you want to start us off, Noah, with something that distracts you? Again, we're going to be all over the place, just kind of shotgun listing things. We'll see what trails we take, but do you want to start the trail?
Sure. I'll start with the classic kind of hyper awareness of your surroundings, like not being able to shut the world out, I think is a big one. And that might depend on, you know, lack of sleep or, you know, too much caffeine. You know, there's so many different factors that can add up to just not being able to get into the zone. That's a pretty big one for me, just kind of getting distracted by what's around.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. I find stuff like in my environment distracts me a lot. And there's something weird about that, but I'll get to that in a second. So
okay.
Messiness is something that distracts me.
Mm.
So if I'm, you know, writing on my desk, the fact that maybe I have some dishes stacked up either in my room from earlier or in the kitchen will bother me. Like I'll see them and I'll be like, like I don't feel like I can create until the room is clean.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case. Some days I'm able to just pick up the like three plates, stick them to the side,
right,
and start writing. And I don't really get why some days my brain's like, nah, you better clean, son.
Mm-hmm.
And other days it's like, it's fine, man.
I wonder if it's just like a mood thing where you can kind of thrive in the messiness sometimes, or it's like, no, this is what I'm pulling inspiration from and the motivation from is things just, you know, kind of being out of order, and that's what I'm trying to write about, or you know, this is what I'm channeling. Whereas some other days it's like, no, I need to organize my thoughts to get this down. This isn't like stream of consciousness. This needs to be planned and thought out.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. And then like with that, it's kind of the same thing. It's like some days I can like wake up, just be in my jammy jams and go start writing.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like as the day goes along, I'll start to feel shame.
Yes.
And so then I feel like I have to dress up,
yep,
and look good. And then then I haven't gone anywhere. And
right,
I sit and start writing. But I'm like, why is that distracting me that I'm in my pajamas?
Right.
Because I get if I was in public, being like, I'm embarrassed.
Sure.
But I'm like, no one knows. But I guess I know. And I guess I'm judging me.
Well, but it's also a subconscious association with like, if you go to work, you get dressed like you.
Well you're making an assumption.
Immediately. I was like, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's just it's a motivational thing, like getting your cup of coffee, you know, even if it were to not have any caffeine in it at all, but you didn't know that, just drinking it, that placebo kind of mental thing, like, hey, this gets me going. This is what, you know, puts me in a productive mood.
Yeah. No, that makes sense to me. Buy it.
You buy it?
I buy it.
All right.
And then let's go. So you talked about too, like the, just all the things, like all the things in the environment being distracting.
Right.
I find that, cause I think there's things that distract me in private and there's things that distract me in public. And mm-hmm. So like in public, I kind of like my social awareness / anxiety distracts me. So for example, like if I go to a coffee shop and there's only like a table available, like a 4-seat table.
Yeah.
I love those. Those are my favorite because I can spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's busy,
mm-hmm,
I'll like feel bad taking it.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of like have a hard time writing. I'll be looking around going,
yes,
do people think I suck?
Mm.
And if new people come in, I'm like, are they going to look at me and be like, wow, it's just one guy taking up a 4. So I'm kind of like ready for someone to be like, hey, man, you need to go to the bar.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
you know, I'm just, and that extends to everything where I'm like, am I sitting funny?
Yes.
Do I look good?
I was going to say, even like, if you're not like doing anything wrong, but, you know, social like kind of politeness standards, even if you're just there like everyone else, you sort of get into your own head and you're like, oh my, do I look weird doing this right now?
Yeah.
Like, but are people going to walk by and be like, ugh, another one of these guys like doing their work and the, you know, like,
yeah,
just you start to overthink it and it's never stuff that you would think about other people, but you assume that other people are thinking about you. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I know I don't wear clothes at work, but it doesn't matter that I'm not wearing them.
Are people judging me for my jammy jams?
Yeah. I thought you were saying genitalia. No.
So wearing no clothes at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was imagining.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have wondered like how, because everyone to me looks so cool in coffee shops.
Uh-huh.
Everyone, I'm like, man, that guy's got together. Or like that girl like is probably a influencer.
Yeah, like whatever they're working on is probably important.
Yeah. And then for me, I just feel like a goofy, awkward, tall white guy. And so I'm like, man, I look silly. And then like, but then you become conscious of like trying to look cool.
Yeah.
And you're like, ew, I don't want to be that person.
Yep.
So then you intentionally push your coffee mug over the table to shatter, just to prove that you don't care what people think.
Yes. And you don't pick it up.
That's right. Oh. I think we're cats.
Yes.
But then also with that, tell me, do you have the distraction / awareness as well to like other people in the sense of, you know, getting caught up in their drama or wondering if you need to participate. I'll give you examples. Mm. So I wrote in my notes here, like the Genovese syndrome / which is the bystander effect.
Okay.
I'll try not to sound pretentious in case people don't know what this is, but it's kind of that whole thing where if there's something happening to someone who needs help,
mm,
and it's happening in a large group of people, there's kind of this phenomenon slash thing where no one will actually help the person because they right. all think someone else is going to do it.
Yes.
The reason it's called Genovese is because a girl was unfortunately murdered outside all these apartments and people are just watching because they were like, well, this is obviously very terrible.
Yeah.
So someone surely will go help her and just no one did because they all thought someone else would do it. So that happens to me in like coffee shops and stuff. You have those moments where you're like, oh, that person's struggling, or I think they don't know the Wi-Fi. And then I have that moment of like, do I need to help them? Should I help them? And I can't write because I'm thinking about all these like external things. Does that happen to you or is it just me?
I understand the feeling and I do get that. But I don't experience it as a distraction if I'm like working on something. But if I have nothing to keep me occupied, then that'll take up my mental space and be like, I'll notice those things more, and feel responsible. I'm just trying to think if it's ever like, just of a concrete example where it's happened, but, it's usually small things like, well, that person's looking for something specific. And usually if there's staff around, I kind of defer to them. But then if I'm noticing like some social anxiety from that person where they're like, they don't feel comfortable actually seeking out the stuff. Maybe I'll try to help out, but I don't know if it's a lack of empathy or what it is, but I'm more able to tune it out if I have something to occupy myself with.
Sounds like a French stereotype. You just don't care.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't ne quoi de pied, pourquoi tu es mouche, baguette.
Yes.
Eiffel Tower.
What
about drama? Does drama and or conversations, do you get wrapped up in other people's stuff?
No. And I know this for sure because at work, where I work, I don't want to lean into any stereotypes here, but my department is in the same kind of open space as the accounting department.
Poking the bear.
Which consists mostly of women who enjoy talking about things that happen around the office or in their lives. I'm not saying that everyone does that, but these ones do.
Yes.
And so there's a constant kind of flow of information coming from there. And I just kind of learned to tune it out either by putting my headphones in or just I'll kind of zone into my work, and then kind of tune things out. And actually people get surprised because one of them will call me out and be like, what do you think? I'll be like, I honestly was not listening at all. I understand that you know you're being loud and that I should technically be able to hear you, but I was tuning it out. So, that doesn't really bother me.
I thought that your comment about not wanting to lean into stereotypes was going to be in reference to accountants. And I was like,
what's an accounting stereotype?
Yeah. They talk about numbers a lot. I wish I had that superpower. See, I have the opposite where people go, hey, what do you think about this? And I go, oh, I wasn't listening because I feel bad that I was totally listening.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to, you know, doing whatever. I get caught up in it if it's juicy. But I don't like getting caught up in it.
Right.
I want to get back to work, but my brain just goes like, ooh, narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the worst is when you know, it's the school season here in Fayetteville when all the college students are around.
Because
A, it's hard to get a spot in the coffee shops, but B, you just hear the dumbest stuff.
Oh,
but at the same time, it's like juicy.
Oh, yeah,
and so I remember one of the worst like roller coaster rides for me was sitting in Puritan, and this like sorority girl was just like saying like the worst YA novel I ever heard, basically. Like she just was her sexual awakening. And I was like, oh, I should not be hearing this, but I'm here and I'm kind of caught up. What's going to happen with Dean?
Right.
Or is she going to choose Martha? I want her to be happy, but I also think she kind of sucks.
That is funny. Whenever I'm at a coffee shop with Julia and like, we'll be close to other people, and then the conversations will be pretty loud around us. And I'll usually, if I can hear a conversation too well, I'll try to make it a point to just be like, oh, this is something that, like, if I were being that loud, I probably wouldn't be aware of it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want other people listening. So I just kind of zone into whatever I'm doing, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, a few minutes later, Julia will say, what do you think of that? And I'll be like, you were listening to the conversation. You're dropping eaves.
Yeah.
She'll be like, oh, I can't help it. They're just being really loud. And I'll be like, well, you also kind of enjoy doing it. She's like, yeah. It's fun. But yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sure people just go to people watch / people hear.
Yes.
A much less that's totally popular a thing. Sport,
but, and I mean, obviously, if you want your conversation to remain private, there are ways to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's not like people should feel guilty for listening in, but I just don't like doing it. And so I'll try to tune it out.
Mm-hmm. The last thing I'll say with, external stuff, I think it's the last thing that I have, with this, or I guess, two things with what you said in particular, but movement's distracting to me.
Oh, really?
And so in our backyard at our house, there's a lot of birds and a lot of rabbits.
Mm.
One rabbit I have named Alexander the Great. I love him. Nice. He's pretty cool. He's really cute.
Mm.
But they'll just like plop in front of, you know, the window.
Yeah.
And the rabbit will just like be like, you know, grooming himself. And it's just whenever I like see something like dart by or like move, my eyes just kind of like gravitate up. I'm like,
yeah,
cute bunny. And then I have to like get back to it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, you know, I should, you know, make the shades, you know, put the shades down,
right.
but then I wouldn't have the light. Well, I wouldn't see them and I wouldn't have the light.
That's true.
The last thing with like the, you know, external visible stuff is obviously attractiveness. Like we talked about seeing people think they're cool.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah.
Then also when there's like a cute barista or someone really attractive walks in. Again, I'm like, man, I'm here to write. And they, by all means, have the right to exist and walk around and show off their beauty.
Right.
But I'm just like, well, now I'm flustered because they're talking to me or I have to order from them and all these things. And I'm like, I was just trying to write about death.
Or if, yeah, even if just someone looks like they have an interesting story.
Yeah.
You know, they just have something about them and you can't help but like look up every once in a while to see like how they're doing a certain thing or whatever. Movement's not really a thing for me. I do hate it whenever I'm like trying to get a lot done towards the end of the day, at my day job. And I'm just trying to, you know, finish this thing by the time that everyone usually leaves, but people start to leave early cause they're done with their stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of make a show of leaving and they're like, all right, everyone have a good night, all that stuff. And everyone's like, okay, see ya. And then people start gathering their stuff. And usually if one person leaves early, people start to like trickle out.
Yeah.
It kind of starts this snowball effect. And that really distracts me. Cause then I feel like the day is done at that point. And, like, if I'd just been the only person there all afternoon, I would be fine because my mindset would have stayed the same. Like, hey, I'm getting this work done. This is why I'm here. But if everyone starts to leave and, like, makes it noticeable, I just have a hard time being like, well, I'm still working, you know? Like, it's their fault. And so that's one that really distracts me.
Yeah. Mm. With that, like, I find time limits or plans distracting.
Mm.
So like for me, I feel like I work best when I have the whole day.
Yes.
But when I'm like, okay, I have something at 6.
Yeah.
Then I just go, like, I'm anticipating that thing and it doesn't feel as exciting to create. Cause I'm like, well, I'll have to stop.
Yes.
Like I have this thing that I'm thinking about.
Knowing that you'll have to interrupt whatever you start is really can keep you from doing it for sure.
Which is lame because like you have so much time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always way more time than you think there's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, or yeah, the whole like, yeah, even like being at work for me, like, yeah, when people start like leaving or whatever, it's kind of like, again, my brain's thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe I need to leave a note so mm-hmm. people don't lock me in. And you're starting to think about all these external things and it's getting in the way of, again, like you creating. But yeah, the planning thing, again, I would let things get me all out of shape as a kid. So again, I think I've said this before, my parents wouldn't tell me when I was going to the doctor or the dentist because it would ruin my whole week.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's days away, I would just be like, until it comes for me, I am in misery.
Yeah.
And so it'd be like, hey Kyle, like, how was your day? I'm like, good. It was real good. We did this. Hey, we passed the house. Are we? No. No. And then they're like, we do this because we love you so that you can enjoy your day. And I'm like, oh. But yeah, I like knowing that I have a lot of time to create and that the day can just kind of go wherever I want it to. And then it's like when you finish or you kind of burn out, then it's just kind of like, all right, cool. Now, like, do I want to make plans or mm-hmm. do I just want to relax? And then it just feels more freeing. There's a bummer about plans for me, especially because usually they make me nervous.
Yeah. I totally get that though. And I feel like that comes with age too. Not that we're old, but like, more and more you enjoy not having anything planned mm-hmm. and just having like weekends. Whenever I have nothing going on over the weekend, I'm like, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Even if the plans are super cool and super exciting and you get to do stuff with people you really enjoy spending time with, it's always like, there's just something about nothing that feels really good.
Yeah. That's a good Noah quote.
Yeah. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with just like life occupying your mind. Like, oh, I have this like money thing that's hanging over my head, or just like different kinds of stress like that really set you off. Even if the thing is a week away, you're like, oh, what's the point of any of this?
Yeah.
Cause that thing's still going to happen. Yeah. This is whatever I'm creating is not going to help me with that thing. And
especially I find, getting like, what's the word? What am I trying to say? The finality of a project is distracting.
Yeah.
Like working on our comic snafu is hard for me. Cause I'm like, well, even if I finish this issue, I got like more than 100 more to write.
Yes.
So what's the point?
Right.
Like you just said, like, this, I am but tears in a rainstorm or whatever.
Yeah. That's a great Kyle quote.
Thank you. I definitely did not steal it from a sci-fi classic that I don't actually like. Come at me.
What is it?
Blade Runner. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Everyone.
No, you don't like the original, but
I
you
don't like the original Blade
like
Runner. I'm sorry. Yeah. 2049 is better on a story level, a visual level, a sound level.
Lay it down, Kyle.
And sexy ladies level. Yep. Give me a beat, Noah.
Talking about Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. I got nothing.
No, that's it.
So yes, that is life stuff too. And that's an art. So with life stuff, having things in the air, like even if I'm just waiting to hear back from a friend about a question or something.
Oh yeah.
I find that just, I'm like waiting for, even if it's inconsequential to anything, I'm just like, I know I should be expecting a message. And then again, it can go two ways. Like, oh, I got it. Now I'm going to look at it. Or like, didn't get it. Something wrong.
Right.
Why didn't I get
it?
Do they hate me? Are they dead? Am I calling the cops? Yes, I am. Now am I in the precinct? Did I do it? Yes, I did. What a twist.
Oh,
I find prison distracting.
Yeah. I find the gangs really set me off for my creativity.
Yes.
They try to get me to join them and are fighting me to
I found showers distracting. Anything else on those particular things, Noah?
No, I think a lot of my other stuff is mostly like internalized.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see if there's any other external things.
Well, I mean, I have one that's in between.
Let's get in between, baby.
It could be kind of a bridge to the two. For me, these are the double-edged swords.
Mm.
So things that could swing you either way.
How does a sword swing someone?
Mm. So, actually, it's not a double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged swing.
It's just a single-edged sword.
A single-edged
Because swing. There's one side that hurts you and one that doesn't.
Ah, okay.
I don't know what you would call that.
Quick question. Can you, what would be pistol whipping but with a sword? Sword bunting? I don't know why this matters. I just thought.
Well, because it would be with the hilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hilting?
I don't know.
All right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just got an image of like, it'd be funny to see someone get
whack
hilted. Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to like, you know, cause you mutilation or kill you, but I would like you to feel pain for a while.
Well, and I have to explain why my brain's going here really quick, and then I really want you to continue. I'm okay. Sorry for doing this.
This is totally fine.
This
is really distracting.
Yes. And this is how we feel, baby. I'm glad to be back. We're not talking about seriousness. Yeah. We're just being goofy. So animated series that we hope to make someday, Wild Hearts, fantasy.
Yeah.
Part of what makes that universe appealing is taking like contemporary modern things and then making like doing them, but in a fantasy element. So to give a quick example.
/ medieval context.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we like joked about there being gas stations in fantasy, but they, again, because what you ride on is horses and not cars, there would be like to make it look like a gas station, but with like, you know, carrots and horse food and stuff. And then you also have the shops that you walk into.
Uh-huh.
What's the equivalent of gum? Are people, you know, the things that you would buy at a gas station?
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's that kind of joke. So anyway, I just pictured again, like a medieval gang and they have their little daggers and they're, you know, kind of doing the same like lingo and everything, but then instead of again doing a pistol whip, like kind of
the hilt whip,
hilt whip and he hilt whipped me or whatever, and I just was like, what would that be called? I am so sorry.
No,
audience.
I love it.
Had to go there.
That is leads very well into one of my points.
We planned this, audience.
Yeah. Which is other projects.
Yes, absolutely.
Are so distracting.
Yes.
To me, that's one of the big ones because there's always something, and especially once you like find your creative groove, that's going to branch out into so many other things. You're like, oh my gosh, this would be so cool. Especially if you're looking to diversify your portfolio like we are, and mm-hmm. we're always thinking, okay, what would this be good as? Oh, this would be a good novel. This would be a good comic.
Yeah.
This is a screenplay. Mm-hmm. This is an animated TV show, you know? Yeah. And then that like just spreads you thin.
Mm-hmm.
And you really kind of do a lot of, you know, you do small bits of a lot of things instead of doing big chunks of one thing. And that is kind of a technique. I know that Brandon Sanderson, the author I'm reading right now, the reason his output is so high is he's always working on, you know, 7 projects at a time or whatever.
Mm.
And the way he keeps himself going and keeps himself from getting tired or burnt out with one project is he just hops around constantly. So for some people that really works.
Yeah.
But I don't know that would be the technique for me. I think I have to stick with it and just stay in that mindset to kind of get the job done. So that's one of, I was calling them double-edged swords, but again, that's not what they are, but it's just like these things that can either work in your favor or against you. Another one is comparison. And we've talked about this before, but like seeing other people's stuff
mm-hmm.
that you think is better than yours, that's one thing where I'm like, man, it's not going to be as good as that. Why am I even, like, what's the point? And then you kind of get bummed out and then it just derails you and you're like, well, I'll just go do something else.
Yeah.
Or you'll be like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, I think we can get there to that level. Let's see this through. So it could go either way. And then, kind of to go hand in hand with that, thinking of what the project could be. So like being like, oh my gosh, this is what I have in my head for this right now. I'm not seeing that in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll get there. You set it aside for a while. So those were kind of the big three for me, or like comparison and then thinking too far ahead, and then working on other stuff, other projects.
How dare you machine gun blast me? I didn't even get a chance to react.
Just three things.
You hit me in the, you hilt whipped me, and then you just right. started kicking me on the ground.
That's right. And I took away ideas. Your horse's feed. And
oh man, my horse's feed. the other projects is a killer. Mm. And I'm glad that you bring that up, because again, this is our podcast. This is our platform to talk about whatever we want.
Right.
That's been a real pain in my booty recently. Yeah. Is
this podcast being one of those things?
Oh yeah, absolutely. and again, thankfully we have switched to doing it every other week, and that's right. been awesome. And this week I've gotten a lot more writing done, but that has been the issue that I know is an issue that's been on my mind, where I've just been like, I need to figure this out, because I think the main things for me are the new poetry book,
yeah,
and then Snafu. Mm-hmm. And Snafu again has like it has so much stuff that needs to happen. It's like the individual right. issues need to be written, but then also the pitch documents need to be prepared. So like, what's the log line? What's the synopsis? What's yeah. the overall outline? What's the cover letter?
Yeah.
But then it's hard to do those if you don't have the full story. So then mm-hmm. it's like, so do the individual issues, but then it's like, these take a long time.
Right.
And then along with that, then is the podcast, thinking of topics, guests. And then also like screenplay. Like mm-hmm. And I'm really wanting to dive back into that. And so it's hard because, yeah, I feel like I've kind of been doing the hopping.
Right.
And it's nice because I get to, you know, flirt with each one, but then it's slow progress for each. And so I've kind of been wondering, I'm like, will it taste sweeter when I know I can fully develop and spend time with these properties? So it's kind of like, you know, I'm a douchey dad who has two families, and so I'm like, oh man, I keep going back and forth. Right. Like, will it be better if I just like take my time with one family? This is an awful analogy. And then this is the Kyle Stuck analogy. So I'm wondering if I need to just be like, all right, finish the poetry book,
mm-hmm.
and then work on individual Snafu, and then do the screenplay. Like, your reward for finishing the poetry book is that, but it's hard, like you right. said, because I think. My brain at least goes, like, it dreams all the time. It's always dreaming about these ideas.
Mm.
But then as soon as you sit down, the brain goes, oh, this isn't fun anymore. This is work. You tricked me.
Yep.
And so then it'll, like, bring up another idea and be like, what about that screenplay? And you're like, ooh, that screenplay is tasty. I'm going to start writing. The brain's like, ew, no, you ruined it. Let's go back to Snafu.
Yeah. Well, and there's also something, and this is part of the danger, is that there's something comforting in knowing that you have a lot of good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, oh my gosh, just all these things. One day these will all be something and they'll all be great. And so you don't want to abandon any of your children that you're trying to raise.
That's an awful analogy. I'm so sorry, audience.
But yeah, you want to see every single thing through. And it's hard to get into the mindset like, I need to see this one thing through in order to pay full attention to the next thing and then the thing after that. Because you're like, well, but all these ideas are going through my head right now. And if I focus on this one thing, those will all be gone and I might not remember them.
Yeah.
Or this thing might not be as interesting once I'm done with this other thing. And that steam will be gone. And so, it's a double-edged sword. Again, yeah, that's one of those things where it's like it can help you or it can hurt you, depending on your mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. So your other one was comparison.
You
had two more. So mm-hmm. one was comparison. Yeah. Again, being fully transparent, that's been distracting to me.
It's
been just like, I mean, getting jelly, getting envious,
mm-hmm.
getting judgy even mm-hmm. of like, you don't deserve that.
Yeah.
And right. I'm very aware in the moment. I'm like, man, I don't like feeling this way.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But it is hard when you, like, again, in wanting to be transparent, I won't rope you into this, Noah. It really was just me. I read a comic.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, this is bad. I won't say what it was, but it was from Image, which again, Noah and I love as a company, as a publisher, and we read a lot of their stuff. And so it was hard reading that and being like, I feel like this is bad visually and with its story. And then you just, it's hard not to stew.
Yeah.
And so again, I recognize that's not a good thing and I just need to focus on myself. But it can't, if you see a lot of examples like that, it can be like, well, why not us?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, while you write stuff, it's like, it doesn't matter if this is good because it's just on who you know. Or, you know, all my family members are MKs. So
right,
never have an end to anything except for MK parties. Hey, you want to be an MK? Easy. Not really easy in terms of what you have to do.
You just quit your job.
Also, I mean, I guess that's not even technically correct because then we just would say missionary. To be a missionary kid, there are very specific steps needed.
It's not something you choose.
I didn't choose the MK life. The MK life chose me. Anyway, so I totally hear you there with the comparison, specifically about quality. Like, even if you're feeling bad of like, oh, our stuff isn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we won't get there. And what was the final one that you said?
Thinking too far ahead.
Yes.
And what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of goes hand in hand with what you were saying about not seeing an end to the project when you do look ahead. Those are two things that I think can hurt.
Yeah. Getting overwhelmed by your own idea, your own creation, your own, to want a lot, like for something to kind of have a grand vision. This is going to bother me.
It's bothering me.
Oh, we're both pissed. Don't remember.
Yeah.
But like the scope of something can just be, can kick you in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think I need to find a better idea to like, again, kind of, rein my own brain in a little bit and be like, all right, you can still think about these things, but and I've tried to schedule what I work on and what days, but even then our brain's like, but what if we put on a play?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, where is that coming from?
And you never want to bring down the overall scale of the project that you want. Because you're like, well, no, that's part of what makes it good is that it's so ambitious. But you just have to kind of narrow your immediate vision into what you're trying to get done in that amount of time. That's a pretty tough one.
Yeah. Okay, so there's those three. Were those your last ones in total?
So those were like kind of it's internal/external. So I figured it'd be a decent bridge into the more internalized things. Look at me.
All right, I'm going to start with one and you tell me what you think about it.
All right.
And it's my last one. So then we'll just finish with your stuff.
Okay.
Excuse me, I had to burp. Just want to be honest.
I'm glad that was cleared up.
Yeah. Questions distract me. Let me unpack that.
Mm.
So there's a lot of, like, in writing, there's a lot of research.
Yeah.
There should be a lot of research.
Sure.
Sometimes you watch things or read things and you're like, I don't think that that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, or someone else will point out to you, like, this is a very inaccurate piece of content.
Right.
Even
if it's like completely fictional, there's like a certain level of, you know, suspension of disbelief and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, even like, you know, world building, which I know you've been thinking about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's like your own fictional research needs to occur. But anyway.
Yeah.
I will kind of get stuck if my brain asks a question and I can't answer it.
Yeah.
I'll get distracted by the journey. So to give just a quick, silly example, I just finished the Book of Judges and I got to the classic part where Samson kills a lion and then he leaves and he comes back and there's honey in it. And I, again, with my now adult mind, I was like, what the crap? How quick do bees make honey?
Right,
like how quickly could they make, assuming that this happened. But again, I'm taking it literally.
Right.
I'm trying to. And so I was like, I gotta know. And so, and I was late. I had just played tennis and I needed to get this reading done so I could talk about it the next day. And I was like, man, we ain't got time for Google, Kyle. And I was like, I need to know how long it takes to make honey. And so I went on this Google journey, but it was not clear because a lot of the first results were like in a contained environment, like not out in the wild. And in the wild, it was like kind of clear because the bees are always making honey. Like it's just happening. But I was specifically after like in a new location.
Right.
Because again, from scratch and the amount needed to make like a yummy cone that a Hulk-esque man could eat and serve to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasted like 30 minutes learning about honey and I got on YouTube. And I then was just learning about honey.
Yeah.
And I watched this very vanilla influencer with his, like doing like a cheesy, like, so tell him, welcome to something, something farms, home of the whatever. And I'm here with Steve. And hi, I'm Steve. I'm talking to talk about bees. And it just.
No, keep going.
I'm Martha and I'm Steve's wife. Anyway. And it just went on this whole thing. And so. Sometimes like I think research and is necessary, but sometimes I think my brain gets hung up easily on minutiae, on like on being specific, on being exact, because I think it's fearful of people putting holes. I think it's like we kind of now have a honest trailer / cinema sins aware culture.
Yes.
To where we look for things more. We're not as willing to have suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, you know, in Snafu, for example, a character has some clothing that's not the same as the other characters she's trying to blend in with.
Mm.
And so then I was like, okay, how would, if someone calls her out on that, how would she defend that? And so then I'm like researching dry cleaners and their the kind of solvent they use and like what could happen. And I'm like getting to all this technical crap. And I'm like researching also like fairies, how they dock and like the, you know, all this stuff, which is good, but sometimes that gets in the way of creation.
Yes.
I can, that's one of those things where I'm like, just write the scene and then go back
and
take care of it. But my brain goes, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have all these documents open with boat plans.
Right.
And we're then Googling words that we don't understand. And then we're watching the tutorial on boats. And then we're just like, where are we? And we've wasted 30 minutes.
Well, it's because you tend to think of the research and the background details as the foundation for the story and not the other way around, where, you know, they should just be complementary or just not be distracting. You know, it's like visual effects in movies. You only notice the bad ones.
Yeah.
And the, if people don't notice that you've done anything, it means you did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how that stuff is, where it's like, it's important to do your research to the extent that there's nothing wrong with it when people read it that would distract them from the story, but the main element should still be the story. But it's super easy to fall into the, this is always what I think, is someone smarter and more talented than me is going to see this at some point if it gets out.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to be the point where people are like, huh, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then have it just invalidate everything else about it. So that's definitely an easy trap to fall into.
I mean, that's how I felt with Star Wars. I was like, y'all didn't even pay attention to space. I mean, there's fire. There's all this, you know.
Yeah, like, well, if we're going to be pedantic, which I love being, as you know me.
Don't make up words.
Star Wars is fantasy more than it is science fiction. Let's be clear.
That's what we're...
let's be clear.
And also, this whole example was meant to be dumb, so... all right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. But when you say that they put sci-fi, they'd say sci-fi fantasy, not fantasy.
They borrow sci-fi elements.
I just mean in how people describe it.
Yeah, but people are generally wrong.
Oh, okay. I fully agree with you. Yeah. I just mean like that's how people would refer to it,
it's
probably.
It's totally up for debate.
Okay.
But I think it's a fantasy that borrows sci-fi elements rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you.
And you even get like they established it's a long time ago, which usually pertains to fantasy. And there's magic systems and all these things, you know, like that are part of typical fantasy. It's just the context and setting is borrowed from sci-fi. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at something like Star Trek, that's like full sci-fi, like quintessential.
Yeah, it's about thinking. It's about
there's actual laws of physics and you know, just science is applied throughout. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Anyway,
a little tangent. Overall thought: you're a nerd.
Yes.
fun little side journey. I'm always happy to talk about that stuff.
Yeah. Got into a little warp speed.
Got into a little Millennium went Falcon. Into the wormhole, like, okay. Of the, yeah. All right. Example of a movie, just since we just talked about this, that got was like seemed like technically very accurate and correct, but I couldn't care less, was First Man, mm-hmm. The Neil Armstrong one that just came out. I remember watching it and being like, cool, you're explaining how all of this works.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And I want to go to bed. For people who are into space, awesome. But also, I imagine you have documentaries for that.
Mm.
So I like movies that like know their crap, but mm-hmm. I also, again, like character and story. And I didn't feel like that movie had that.
I feel like The Martian's a pretty good example of a good balance there.
Yeah.
Where like, it's like, oh, there's solid science.
Yeah, because wasn't it written by scientists?
Right. And so it's like, oh, and that was a big thing when it came out. It's like, oh, this person actually did their research. This is theoretically possible, but that's not what the movie is about. It's about, you know, the problem solving and the just the challenges that this character goes through. But yeah. I feel like that's a good example of a good balance.
Well, I would say Better Call Saul, the TV series, because they had like an actual lawyer
right with law react stuff. To
it and that was cool because again it shows like the show doesn't hinge on that but it also is I think like real life is really interesting, so when you can throw in those realistic details like the fact the bathrooms are really gross and you can't do certain things with judges and yada yada, that makes it more appealing. But I would also rather have a good story than realism any day.
No, totally. But it is distracting if you're watching something and you're like, that would never happen in this context.
Yeah.
Then immediately it kind of invalidates the rest of the scene or the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So all that to say, research can be distracting.
Yes.
/ questions can be distracting.
Yes.
So I think I need to do a better job of giving more weight to creativity and being it. And I think that's a part of like, categorizing things like this is like story time and later is like technical time. They're different, I think, parts of the brain.
Yeah,
a little bit. Maybe not parts of the brain, parts of creativity. Like this is just like making things, and this part's like tidy up, like make it tight time. You know what I mean? And maybe your brain can look forward to both. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm excited to come back to this because I want to make sure it's good, but also right now I'm free to just like explore and you know all that stuff. Go where no man's gone before.
Oh my God. Space.
Yeah. Oh.
The final front.
Yes. What are your last ones, Noah?
I think I had a couple, but they kind of got blended in with everything. So my last one was being in the wrong mood.
Ooh.
And by that, I mean like whether it's, you know, genre or time period or just like this mental space that you kind of settle into, whether it's because you watch something or read something that just kind of put your mind in that space, it becomes really hard to focus on work that happens in a completely different context.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If the story is, you know, completely different. For example, if you're writing a story about
penguins.
Yeah. Okay. Penguins.
Cool.
And you're like, all right, man, I'm in the sphere, you know, I've just like it's cold. I can put myself there. This is what's going on. Mm-hmm. This is how the penguins interact. This is like the evil villain, which is always a human being in animal movies, comes and is like, oh no, they're chipping away the ice or whatever. And you can like kind of put yourself in that context, and your whatever, you know, content you're consuming outside of that is somewhat related to that. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to watch Planet Earth. Going to watch, you know, March of the Penguins or whatever it's called.
The animated portion of Mary Poppins.
I'm going to watch Happy Feet.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so you tend to kind of gravitate towards things that match that. And then all of a sudden you're going to watch a Western and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I love Westerns. And then you're like, man, I'm in that mood now. Yeah. I'm going to watch another Western. And then your mind is just in that space because that's what you're feeling in that moment. And then you have to like, got to write this movie about penguins. I'm no longer interested. Even though I know it, there's something there. I know it's good.
Yeah.
My mind just isn't there anymore. And so like, I like to think of it like my mind will open the wrong mental Pinterest board and I'll be caught up in it. And I have to like kind of scroll back and click through and find my way back to the original one that was, you know, the mood board that I originally had for the story.
Yeah.
But it's easy to get, or it's like a Wikipedia rabbit trail where you're like, this is the article I'm starting with. Oh, that looks interesting. I want to click on that.
Yeah.
And then eventually you're reading about cowboys. And so that's a big one for me. It's just like creatively finding myself longing for another type of, like, not just a different project, but just another type of atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big one.
Well, I think you're in luck because there's a lot of penguin and Western crossovers.
Well, yeah, in so our got, projects. That's
you
true.
Got 310 to Penguin. You got the good, the bad, the Penguin. You got Rio Bravo Penguin.
I could tell the entire time that I was talking that you weren't actually listening to me and trying to think of Penguin cowboy movies.
What do you mean trying to
Cowboys
think?
Versus Penguins.
Yeah, that was the one that I was going to go. Unforgiven Penguin.
Yeah.
The Penguin with No Name.
That's right.
Yeah.
A Fistful of Penguins.
Fistful of Penguins. I love it. True Grit Penguin isn't that funny. True Penguin Grit. That sounds like True Detective, but with penguins. Yeah, true Penguin. It's not black and white.
Yeah.
No, I think that makes sense. I totally struggle with the same thing of like, again, in reference to like Snafu, it's like, ooh, funny, light, crime, comedy, really into these characters. But then like on Pinterest or ArtStation, you know, I'll see that thing that reminds me, Give Me to the Waves. And I'm like, ooh, no, like sad boy, existential theology.
Yep. Yep.
Or then again, I'll see something like medieval or fantasy. And be like, no, I want to, like even you the other day, freaking screw you. You were talking about world building and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, yeah, Wild Hearts. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's like, I totally get what you're saying of having these different aesthetics because there's things in each that, you know, speak to you, excite you. And so it's like, ooh, like, Snafu, sometimes I'll just watch like clips from like crime movies. Mm. So I'll like watch like stuff from The Godfather.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
Mob or
Goodfellas.
Stuff.
Yeah. And I'll get all excited. But then, yeah, it's like then I'll find myself watching clips from Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, I want to watch Lord of the Rings. And it's funny how quickly it can switch because, yeah, even the other day I was like, you know what? I haven't seen Road to Perdition or Layer Cake, I think, is one of the first movies that Daniel Craig was in.
Yep.
I think, I guess, got him James Bond. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, these would be good, like, Snafu inspiration.
Yeah.
But then just, like, 2 days later, I was like, they just sounded so unappealing. Mm. Like, not, like, all time.
No, yeah.
But in the moment, I was like, no, Papa wants horror movies.
Yeah.
And again, I was like, friggin' Kyle, like, pull it together, man.
Yeah,
because again, I want to write a horror script, and so it's just I don't know how to focus.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need medicine.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a focus thing, and, but yeah, it's so easy to get wrapped up in something else that just sounds like such a cool world to be in, depending on your mood. So, yeah,
well, and yeah, I think it's like it is different from the other projects because there are projects there's overlap and like why you're drawn to it, but it's specifically the feeling,
yes,
and like you said, like. That you get. Even we were sharing some video game trailers. And again, it was for kind of like a wacky sci-fi shooter. And I was like, oh, like, I miss that kind of world. Like, yeah. I want to play Fallout. You know, and it was just like, Kyle. So, yeah. Great point, Noah.
Well, and one thing that leads to a lot of times, at least for me, whenever I'm thinking my own story ideas, is I'm like, what if I combine those two things? You know, like, you start with this idea and you're like, oh my gosh, but I really want this to be a Western. What if I just made it a Western and just keep everything else the same, but it just happens to be a Western?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it leads to positive things. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And you find yourself kind of trying to force these storylines or these atmospheres into a story where they don't fit. But that's a pretty big one for me.
Yeah. Maybe we solve it by just shoving all our stuff together. So we got...
Yeah, exactly. All our projects.
Give me to the wild heart snafu.
It's going
to
be an animated animated comic book movie script.
Yeah. Listen, it's unprecedented what we're doing here, guys.
We're making waves. Give me to the waves.
give me to them. See what we did there? Ah, she's liking it.
Who?
The executive lady.
Oh, yeah.
You had to, my imagination.
You had to be in my head.
Is that it for our stuff, Noah?
Yeah. I was just going to end with something because in the usual spirit of Humming Fools, every once in a while, we're going to have an episode where we contribute nothing other than listing our problems.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no advice here.
Nope.
But it made me think of Neil Gaiman's rule on writing.
Hit us.
Trying to get him whenever he needs to write stuff and he needs to get work done. His rule is you can sit down and you can write, or you can do nothing, but you can't do anything. And so he'll kind of set himself a block of time and he'll sit down. And he can either, his two options are writing or doing nothing, but he can't do anything else.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so cool. I was like, man, I don't know if I have that kind of discipline, but I feel like it's a good mindset to get into.
Yeah.
To just push through any of these kind of mental blocks and just like, you're welcome to do nothing. Like, that's an option. But that's better than going and doing something else.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I feel like that's actual useful advice. And I wanted to end on that.
Well, I feel like our listeners are going to feel a little bit preached to, so I might take it out.
Let's cut it out. the one piece of advice that's not from us.
That's right. No, I dig it. Yeah. And I totally agree. This is one of those, like, I don't know how this could be helpful to you, minus what Noah just said.
Right. I think a lot of the podcast is just like, solidarity, like, hey, whatever you're going through, we're probably going through it as well.
Yeah. And I like to imagine again that the human brain is complicated enough, and not maybe complicated, like so big and awesome,
yeah,
that all the random crap we said maybe, you know, ignited some fires,
yeah,
for other people, to where they're able to, you know, take these paths and be inspired and encouraged, or be like, you know, I gotta be better too, or mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, that gets me too. And now I need to think about that. So all that to say, I trust you listeners to take this junk and make it beautiful, baby.
Well, and like Anne said, the human brain is not meant to suffer alone. So
yeah,
suffer with us.
That's right. Suffer with us in the waves.
That's right.
Boom. Well then, finishing up, thank you, Humming Fools, as always, just for listening and engaging. It continues to just be so fun to hear from you guys and run into people that we kind of know but don't know super well in person, and just hear your thoughts on the podcast. And it's just awesome. So again, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep going strong. I think that the little gap in schedules will be wonderful for everyone, as Noah said too, having time to listen to stuff more, and us being able to be maybe a little bit more prepared, maybe a little bit more awake sometimes. No promises, but just thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. And again, if you're new, welcome. I think you're pretty cool and I like you.
Agreed.
Yeah. Just reminder, we're going to be publishing every other week. And if you're new, we do that on Tuesdays, usually up around noon. And if you don't want to miss stuff, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you use just so that you don't miss anything. If you don't mind, leave us a review or just share it with your friends. Just be like, yo, Billy, I got a show for you.
That's
yo,
right.
Susan, I also have a show for you. Hey, Mom, I owe you $5. Sorry. Here you go. Cash App. Vimeo. I don't know. Not Vimeo. Vimmo. Vimeo is what I use.
Venmo. Work.
Yes. And be sure to follow our official account on Instagram. That's ominous_media. We will not be posting every day anymore, just again because of the change of the schedule. We'll still try to post quite a bit and respond to stuff and engage and everything, and that will keep you up to date. And be sure to follow Noah and I on our personal accounts if you want to keep up with us. That information's in the show notes. Anything I'm forgetting, my beautiful French man?
No, I think that's it.
Well, once again, I think you're beautiful, and I think, and I know you're French.
Yeah.
So I hope you have a magical weekend, and I'll see you next time.
See you later.